Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! This thing on? Yeah, it is. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is conversation radio unlike any other. And bear with me just a little bit this evening, please, because after you've been away from the microphone long enough, it's a little strange crawling back in behind it, frankly. You just sort of, you're not sure if you've still got your chops. You don't know if you're still at it. It's, you know what I mean. But it is very similar to a bicycle, and after a while you go, yeah, I can still ride this thing. So that's the goal for this evening, finding out if I can still ride this thing. And of course, I can. It's just a little weird. I'm sorry for the absence. I've been sick. I've been pretty nasty sick. And before that, I was on the road. But no, here we are. You can call me Bob More Soup Kincaid. Of course, I spent, eight days with nothing but water, trying to get my gastrointestinal digestive tract to settle down and stop hurting me like hell. I was highly medicated for that period of time. That's why I didn't want to be on the air. Oh, my friend, you know, doing Rush Limbaugh radio. But I am not medicated. My guts are returning to normal. Drinking a lot of water. A lot more water. You know what? You really can't overestimate the value of water in the diet. Not that you're interested or anything, but drink your water. It's not just eat your vegetables. It's drink your water. But be careful about the water and make sure that the water that you're drinking is clean enough for human consumption. That's an open question anywhere within Central Appalachia, unfortunately, and may actually play a part in why I go through what I go through. So drink your water. But we have found ourselves at the start of October. I can tell you that we only missed making September's fundraising goal by about $300. But that's pretty darn close, and glad I am. And we'll juggle a couple of things, and we'll make sure that all the bills get paid. So we're off and started on October. It is the third day, fourth day. Oh, where'd three go? Oh, yeah, yesterday. It's the fourth day of October. We are $50 to the good. Thank you very kindly for the to the individual who made the $50 contribution. It's very much appreciated. And we'll get rolling. Hopefully this will be Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and normal. Can we do that? Yeah, I hope so. No, phase five, I'm not sure I'm okay. But then again, that's an answer that I always get, that I give whether I'm feeling healthy or puny or poorly or whatever. You never know if you're okay. I hope many of you tuned in last night, and I've got to get the audio up to Ben Birch for posting at White Rose Society. I hope many of you tuned in for the Dr. Bill Prism, P-R-I-S-M, chat session last night. I know some did, and I got wonderful, wonderful feedback from them, talking about the value of it and the neat stuff that was contained therein. I can't overstate the importance of what Dr. Bill is doing with this Prism West Virginia American History Series. And there's going to be a good bit more of it. Twice a month, well, there'll be three in this month because we were supposed to have one at the end of September, but I'm sick.
Sick.
Yeah, right. There will be one this coming Tuesday, a week from tonight. And there will be one on Tuesday, the 25th of October. And each one will be packed with information touching upon both the founding of the Republic and the 19th century. I think you will find them absolutely scintillating. No, I'm not overdoing anything, Phase 5. I'm driving slow in the driveway, as the saying goes. Went and voted today. We had a million-dollar election here in West Virginia, thanks to Blanche Manchin. You'll recall that Senator Robert C. Byrd went to his long home about a year and a half ago, And you will recall that Joe Manchin's overarching political ambitions demanded that he couldn't wait until the next election cycle, but must become senator, junior senator from West Virginia immediately. So he vacated the governor's office and ran for Senate and got elected to the Senate. But in vacating the governor's office, created a little bit of a mess, because we'd never really had anything quite like this before. There was a vacancy in the governor's office, and the president of the Senate, a very slippery man named Earl Ray Tomlin, thought himself heir apparent to the governor's chair. Well, it's taken a year and a half, but today we're deciding whether or not he is. Because of Joe Manchin, the state of West Virginia has literally spent millions of dollars on elections that were unnecessary, not to mention the litigation that led up to them, in order to determine whether or not Earl Ray Tomlin will get to call himself governor or acting governor until January of 2013. We literally had a million-dollar election today to find out if Earl Ray Tomlin is going to get to be governor for a little over a year. You know, when we do that kind of frivolous crap, you'd think that we must just be rolling in the dough. Well, we're not. We're still West Virginia, and we're still poor as Job's turkey and brokered in the Ten Commandments. But we got to have us some elections, because Joe Manchin has got him some ambition. And maybe, just maybe, after today, for a couple of months at least, it might be safe to turn the television back on to local stations in the West Virginia viewing market. Because the mudslinging ads have been running fast and furious. Most of them are aimed at the fact that Bill Maloney, the Republican challenger, a guy from somewhere else that no one's actually quite sure of, who has houses in various and sundry different states, although he does maintain one somewhere near Morgantown that might actually be in West Virginia, not Pennsylvania. And he's a teabagger. He don't want no federal money. He don't want no taxes. Wants to cut back on them frivolous teachers' teachings. While on the other hand, you have Earl Ray Tomlin, who projects a sort of telekinetic ray such that if you get within 15 feet of him, you are immediately, absolutely, psychically compelled to go and take a shower. No, Kath, we do not have a lieutenant governor. That's the problem. You know, this is a split-away state. We split away from Virginia during the Civil War, and well, you know, when you do things in a hurry, something gets forgotten, and apparently Lieutenant Governor was the thing we forgot. It was a big mess. But Earl Ray makes you want to go and take a shower. And the both of them, as I may have mentioned, no, I probably didn't, because I was on the road at the time, I was recently, you know, I do this from time to time, and I'm proud of it when it happens. It's kind of like Navin Johnson running down the road in The Jerk, hollering, the new phone book's here, the new phone book's here. Hey, Ma, hey, look, everybody, I'm somebody, the new phone book's here. I was published as a guest op-ed contributor in the Charleston Gazette, the state newspaper of record. I guess it was a week ago yesterday. Or maybe it was 2 weeks ago yesterday. No, it was 2 weeks ago yesterday. My, how time flies. In an opinion piece decrying the state of media and politics in this state. For truly, it is pathetic. Because in the final debate between Bill Maloney and Earl Ray, somebody find me a shower, Tomlin, they spent the vast majority of time talking about whether or not Earl Ray Tomlin is a slippery, sleazy, grimy, grubby, the greyhound kenneler who profits massively by the dog tracks. They literally spent more time in that debate talking about dogs than they did human lives. Because the one time that the paid shill for the coal industry, a guy named Hoppy Kercheval, really, if your name was Hoppy, wouldn't you change it to Fred or Bill or Ted or Harry or something before you opened the microphone? I'm Hoppy. Little six guns, caps, and dang, dang, ooh. The one question that Hoppy Kercheval asked about the effects of mountaintop removal on human health was met by the response from both candidates that, well, yeah, I don't believe it. That's all these, I don't believe it. I don't believe it. It ain't true. As if someone had just come up to them and said, guys, your sister, you know what they're doing on she's doing on Saturday night? I don't believe it. Yeah, but we got photographs. I don't care about your damn photographs. I don't believe it. But then there's your mama. Don't talk about mama. And that was the end of it. Meanwhile, there's a perfectly legitimate, highly intelligent man running for the governor on the Mountain Party ticket by the name of Bob Henry Baber. The guy's been a mayor. May damned well be a PhD. Author of several books. But darned if the West Virginia wholly owned coal consortium media industry would let him in the debates, and even lately, when they were polling about who are you going to vote for in West Virginia tomorrow, none of the polls included Bob Henry Baber. I mean, Jesus, this is sad. So, to the polls, Agnes and I went this morning. That was more like afternoon. And we both cast votes for Bob Henry Baber. If the coal-owned and occupied media can't even bear to mention him, I mean, Jesus, it's not like he's Voldemort or something. And if he can't be included in the public debate, then he damn sure deserves my vote. Because that means he's saying something, he must be saying something, believing something, thinking something, that the coal industry ain't a-lacking. And so we will see. It's possible that Earl Ray D-Louse me Tomlin may win this thing. At one point he had a 25-point lead, and it's been whittled down to 12 by talking about his dog track interests. But if the odd thing should happen, and Bill Maloney should win, then Bill Maloney will win by something on the order of probably 1 or 2%. He's either going to lose big or win short. Lose big or win small. I guess that's the way to say it. But if he should happen to win, the Democratic Party will have to look at those of us Democrats, because, God, it's the same. It's always the same. The news coverage from the newspapers said something on the order of, today's election will turn on the opinions of West Virginia's staunchly conservative Democrats and whether they can be wooed by the Republican Party. You know, that's that. When I read that kind of crapulastic journalism, or what it passes for journalism, it comes with that kind of voice. Because it's so phony in its affected authenticity. But no, the real question will be people like me, people like Agnes, and a lot of other people who went and voted for Bob Henry Baber. Because the Democratic Party in this state left us no other choice. Because I cannot vote for a man who is confronted with peer-reviewed, meticulously researched science about the impacts of mountaintop removal on health, human health, not birds, not butterflies, not bugs, beagles or beetles, but human health in this state. And whose only response to it, well, he's had two responses. The first time he was told about it, he said, well, everybody, there, something comes out every day. Something else makes you sick. No shit, he said that. But then in the debate, I just don't believe it. I don't believe it. Now, I'm a rational person. How in the sweet name of whomever, and in how in the sweet by and by, am I supposed to just check my brains at the door and go and vote for a man who says he doesn't believe in peer-reviewed science? How do you feel about gravity, Earl Ray? I don't believe it. That's why I'm floating up here on the ceiling changing the light bulbs. I don't believe it. How do you feel about Boyle's gas laws, Earl Ray? I don't believe them. I believe that we don't need no laws about gas. We need to get to fracking in West Virginia just as quick as we can frack. Don't! How do you feel about the second law of thermodynamics, Earl Ray? Don't believe it. My thermostat works just fine back to the mansion, both the one I got here in West Virginia and the one I got down in Georgia. Thermodynamic. Thought you had me on that one, didn't you? Takes a lot more than... Yeah, you got to get up pretty early in the morning to beat Earl Ray Tumbling. How's the Democratic Party expect to reach me with a guy who doesn't believe in science? And it's not just me. I'm not a minority, politically. I'm in the majority. We understand things, I mean, although we don't spend our time just thinking about them, every time we put on the brakes, we're using, a coefficient of friction? Or go into one, you know, on our, not so much the brakes, but going through our winding turns on our mountain roads, the coefficient of friction is there, that would riding with you like an angel on your shoulder. Or maybe a devil, depending on how you drive. And they left me nothing. But while I'm at it, let me also point out that this campaign shows the failure of the Green Party in the United States. Oh, I imagine there's more than one or two little horn listeners out there going, oh, no, he's saying something bad about the Green Party. Oh, Jesus, no. Well, yeah. This is October the 4th, 2011, and this is the only election of any damned consequence in the entire United States going on roughly about now, month before, month after. And the Mountain Party of West Virginia is affiliated with the Green Party nationally. They didn't. The Green Party had absolutely nothing else to do. Not a goddamn thing. Oh, I don't know. Maybe there was some library board race somewhere. Or some out-of-the-way alderman's race. But great God Almighty, this is a governor's race. And the Green Party could not be bothered to rouse itself from its somnolence to pump even a nickel into the campaign. If they did, I never saw the ads. Further proof of why, you know, you want to go vote for a third-party candidate? Fine. But you are never going to vote for one that has a rat's chance in hell of winning because the political party superstructure above it doesn't support its candidates. Because they don't fundraise. And sitting around and singing kumbaya and waiting for that day when we get real meaningful campaign finance reform, and then, by God, oh, we'll really mount a campaign. Well, you're going to be waiting a long damn time. I mean, it just got all over me. It's a governor's race of a single state, a chance to make a real statement. Bob Henry Baber, a good man, was left just sort of flapping the breeze. And I suspect it is largely because, as I have said before, they are not interested in governing, they are interested in bitching. Pardon the term. So there's that. But there's also so much more. And maybe it's old news to you. I finally saw the video today and went... Rrr! I was largely... yesterday was taken up with being ready for Dr. Bill's chat. A lot goes into that. But I did see it in passing, and then today I finally saw the video, and I got to share the audio with you. Because maybe there's a slight chance that I can bring a little bit more to this than the video itself bringeth. Uh-oh, he's working the Elizabethan English side of the street. Watch out, the medicine may be kicking in. You know what happened by now. Hank Williams Jr. made an appearance on Fox and Friends in the wee... it's probably, 7, 8 o'clock in the morning. And hauled out Godwin's Law and flogged it all over the TV set. And just embarrassed himself to death. Although I'm sure he doesn't think he did. Now this clip is a couple of minutes long. And we will interrupt it periodically. As is our wont. You know, me and that mouse in my pocket. Check it out.
Country music royalty, and he's been the voice of Monday Night Football for over 20 years. But it's not all about music for this country superstar. He knows a little about politics, too.
That's right. And join us right now to break down the 2012 GOP field is country singer superstar Hank Williams Jr. Good morning to you, sir.
Hi there, guys.
Where are you?
Oh, I'm sitting here in Nashville at the... little studio.
Okay.
Your body language says, leave you alone. Your hands are crossed.
Whatever,
you're shaking us off. Okay.
Hey, since
I'd rather be up there. I'd rather be there looking at Gretchen.
Well, there you go.
Good morning to you, too. Good morning to you, too.
Yeah.
Let's just have a little
How
intimate discussion right here. I'd love...
Well, now. Some of this is lost in the translation because we're doing audio and it's a video piece. But it's 7 o'clock in the morning, and Hank Jr. is making passes at Gretchen, the morning blonde, on Fox? Why is this? Well, it's because Hank lives in a bubble where Hank can say whatever Hank wants to say. And Hank is normally surrounded by a cadre of people who say, "That's right, Hank, you tell him."
Yeah, how about that? I bet she'd like to get a whole little bit of you, too, Hank. You know, this guy, Hank makes Ted Nugent look sane.
Pick your brain about politics.
Yeah.
All right, so I'll start with an easy question. Who do you like in the GOP race?
Nobody.
Nobody?
You remember the golf game they had, ladies and gentlemen?
Yeah.
Remember the golf game?
Boehner.
That was one of the biggest political mistakes ever.
Why?
That turned a lot of people off. You know, watching, you know, it just didn't go over.
Okay, here's a secret. Hank is tanked. Hank is wired to the gills. Wasted. I mean, you've been around this guy. I don't mean Hank. But you live on the planet long enough, sooner or later you're going to be around somebody who's had way too much of either pharmaceuticals or combustibles or potables. And they got just enough to be real up in your face and courageous. Hank was fried. And he's real proud of himself because he's probably talked about that golf game 6 or 7 times among his pals and his cadre and his retainers and his posse. And their job as Hank's posse is to, whatever Hank says, I gotta go to the bathroom. You tell him, Hank! Their job is to agree with Hank. You know what? I mean, the songs that he's become famous for because he's lived them. Whiskey Bent and Hellbound. That kind of crap. Those are not, how shall we say it, imaginings. Those are stripped from the pages of the real life of Hank Williams, Jr. And after a little while, something begins to happen to your brains. And something's happened to Hank's. See, Hank holds Steve Doocy and Gretchen and that other asshole in as much contempt as he holds anybody on the planet. Because they're not Hank. Because Hank has the key inside Hank's mind.
You mean when John Boehner played golf with President Obama?
Oh, yeah. And Biden and Kasich,
What did you not like about it? It seems to be a really pivotal moment for you.
Come on. It'd be like Hitler playing golf with Netanyahu, okay?
Okay.
Ding, 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 we have a winner. I think it's safe to say who the Netanyahu is in that. Boehner is Netanyahu. Right, yeah. Come on. That's that babblesome torqued to the gill speech. Come on. Because he doesn't know what his next line is. Or if he does, he's trying to remember it. 7 o'clock in the morning. And who knows what? Percocet, little Vicodin, maybe chase it with a little Jack, and then they just sort of roll him into the studio.
Not hardly. In the country this shape is in, the shape this country's in,
there's the score! In the country this shape is in. Really, Ossifer, I'm not nearly as drunk as you think. As drunk as I am. And the babbleheads on Fox are just grinning into the camera like, "Oh my God, it's precious."
Watching, you know, it just didn't go over.
You mean when John Boehner played golf with President Obama?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And Biden and Kasich, yeah. Uh-huh.
What did you not like about it? It seems to be a really pivotal moment for you.
Come on, come on. It'd be like Hitler playing golf with Netanyahu, okay?
Okay.
Not hardly. In the country this shape is in, the shape this country's in, I mean. No, I don't understand that analogy, actually.
Well, it's...
Well, I'm glad you don't, brother, because a lot of people do. Well, you know, they're the enemy.
See, that's another one of those moments where the camera goes off. By God, Hank, you sure told them uppity New York snotty media types. You sure told them. I'm glad you don't understand it, because a lot of people do. Yeah, the people who wear pillowcases on their heads.
They're the enemy.
Who's the enemy?
Obama and Biden. Are you kidding? The Three Stooges.
That's only
the
two.
The one that makes the most sense is Herman Cain. Herman Cain makes more sense.
So you do have a favorite. Herman Cain of the guys who are and gals who are running for president.
Right now.
Okay.
Right now he makes more sense than any of them.
Because last time around you were a supporter of Governor Sarah Palin.
Boy, was I.
Do you want her to get in this time?
I don't know. You know, like I said, guys, they've turned a lot of people off. Look at USA Today poll. 89% said Congress should be completely replaced.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with them. You know, the health care bill left, it's not going to fly either. It's going to be a historic election. I know that.
A lot of people are motivated.
So one thing I'm gathering from your very emphatic statements this morning is that you are not a big fan of the parties coming together at all to kind of try and find compromise.
No.
All right. Let's talk about Monday Night Football.
We're more polarized than we've ever been, guys. You know it. You know, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. We're polarized. You know that.
Oh, see, every big word he gets, he's got to use it two or three times, you know, to get the squeeze. It's kind of like a lemon. You got to squeeze all the juice out to make the good stuff. We're polarized. That's what I told you. We're polarized. God damn, is this Hank Williams Jr. or Foghorn Leghorn? Polarize them, tell you. That's what I said. Polarize them. Sometimes you got to wonder about Fox. You got to wonder if there's a hit list. You got to wonder. I mean, didn't they know what this guy was going to say when they brought him on? He's got a history. I mean, Hank's not all there, and he hadn't been all there for a long time. In addition to the long and close relationship he had with a variety of substances, including alcohol and pharmaceuticals and, well, you know, combustibles. He had a big-ass fall some years back. And got the bionic man treatment. Spent three and a half weeks in an induced coma while they got his body to come back to life piece by piece. From about the nipples up, he's more wired together than paper mache. You gotta know. And, of course, the real reason he was there wasn't to talk politics. It was to hustle a box set of his daddy's music, which is what has provided him a living. Yeah, I mean, he sold a boatload of records in his own right. But, what, maybe $70,000, $150,000 a year still that probably comes to him in the way of royalties from his daddy's music. And he was there to flog a new set of the newly rediscovered Hank Williams Sr. tracks. And he was there to celebrate, ironically, the 20th anniversary of him being the opening music to Monday Night Football. Are you ready for some football? Monday Night Party! So, most uncomfortably, they try to weave into that.
Yeah, well, you didn't because you used the name of one of the most hated people in all of the world to describe the president,
true. Yeah, that is true. But I'm telling you like it is, that, you know, that just wasn't a good thing. It just didn't fly.
All right.
So anyway, you know,
yeah, okay, so he gets a chance to go back and say, you know, maybe I ought not have said that. You know, it's 7 o'clock and the medicine's kicking in and, well, you know how it is, don't you, Gretchen? Huh? But he doubled down. Well, that's true, but that's how it is. Yeah, because Barack Obama playing a round of golf with John Boehner is the same thing as killing 13, 14, 15 million people. Yeah, it's the same thing. You know, Barack Obama, he goes up a stroke on the second hole with by sinking a long and unlikely 30-foot putt when Boehner misses the 6-foot gimme. Just like Hitler. Exactly like it.
Fred Thompson said, you don't want to ask me a question because I'm going to give you too straight of an answer.
Well, because comparing Barack Obama and Adolf Hitler, that's too straight of an answer. Jesus criminy. Crazy is loose in America. And your backup source is Fred Thompson? Did anybody ask half-dead Fred if he thought Barack Obama was Hitler, too? Because once you've cited Hitler, once you've compared Hitler and Barack Obama, and then you cite Fred Thompson as the reason you did it, well, Fred's got skin in the game at that point. Haven't seen where anybody asked Fred. Of course, you'd have to wake him up to ask him.
About something else.
All right, let's switch to something that happens on Mondays, in particular Monday nights. Can you believe it has been 20 years since...
Did you hear that clap? That's Hank clapping like a 3-year-old. Hank, I'm going to give you a cookie.
You have asked people if they were ready for some football.
Only in America, a 1-year deal that turned into 7 Super Bowls and 3 Emmy Awards and all that good stuff.
No kidding. You still remember the day you got the phone call?
Never forget it.
Just like the Kennedy assassination.
Yeah. How would you like to do this? I said, oh, I don't believe that. And said, oh, yeah. And 1-year deal that keeps on going sure is fun.
You also have something
and
else.
Next week, we'll have Detroit. We'll be on TV for the first time in 10 years, going into the Monday night game at 4-0 with one of my rowdy friends, Mr. Kid Rock.
See, he's not here. He just made it sound like the Detroit Lions are going to play Kid Rock. This is what happens when the pharmaceuticals kick in. This is what happens when you have bongs before breakfast. This is what happens when the pop, 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 pop of your Rice Krispies is induced by bottled in bond. And it's also what happens when you turn loose a hateful, racist, right-wing bigot on national television.
We'll be sitting up there having a good time.
So you're going to the game. That's great. And a big comeback in the fourth quarter. The Lions 4-0. It seems like a misprint, but it's all true. All right, let's talk about your dad's rare and unreleased recordings that are now coming out. It's called The Legend Begins, a 3-CD set, correct?
That's right.
Where'd you find it?
The Legend Begins, right here.
I can tell you, even though I have no respect for these Fox people, this is a painful interview. When you ask a question and somebody says, that's right, well, that's when you wind up with those conversational pauses that you can drive a C.W. McCall convoy through. So, Hank, how do you like being on Monday Night Football? Only in America. So, Hank, you got a new box 3D CD set of your daddy's music. That's right. Meanwhile, the little IFB earpiece in Steve Doocy's and Greg, we're dying up here, people. That's what, you know, from the producer. Come on. Ask him. Oh, Jesus, can we get. Wrap this thing up, will you? This is. Well. If it weren't for the fact that he's so darn loathsome, I would have felt sorry for him. It was embarrassing. But of course, nobody on his side of the fence is going, Hank, you might want to lay off the Vicodin, the gin, and the weed before any further interviews, Hank. You didn't sound real good, because you know what, the next two words after you didn't sound real good are? You're fired! And all of a sudden, your whole comfortable world just goes to hell and you turn into a 99er. But there is, there's some follow-up to this whole story. And that is this. Hank has been defended. There are defending Hank's honor out there. There's a slippery pettifogging lawyer in Nashville, or roundabouts Nashville, who's a bigwig in the teabaggers. And he's a shyster. And he got himself in a bunch of financial hot water over that big teabag of palooza that he had with the Godzilla from Wasilla at Opryland. Probably still litigating that. His name's Judson Phillips. He is, as I understand it, an ambulance chaser. He's not one of those corporate sleazy lawyers. And Judson Phillips just this morning tweeted, "I stand with Hank." If ESPN, because see what happened was ESPN canned Hank almost, there was almost some high-level physics involved, because it was as though they had canned him before the entire word Hitler was out of his mouth. As they rightfully should have. If ESPN will not have Hank Williams because of his political beliefs, I will not watch ESPN. No Hank, no football. Meanwhile, some right-wingers and teabaggers and such are circulating a petition right now calling for a boycott of ESPN and their sponsors, just like the libs did to Glenn Beck. Good luck, boys. Taking redneck conservatives away from their football is going to be only slightly less difficult than, what's the appropriate analogy? I don't know, taking their sheets and hoods away from them. No Hank, no football. Yeah, tell that to the Alabama fans. Tell that to folks who watch ESPN college football like a religion. Well, you know, he did say Hitler and everything. I think it's okay for me to watch the football game this weekend. No Hank, no football. I stand with Hank. Because, of course, this is a free speech right, right? I mean, we are savvy enough on this side of the discussion to realize that, no, this is not a free speech right. Hank Williams does not have the freedom of speech to compare Hitler, Obama to Hitler, and get away with it, and have ESPN continue to pay him to work for them. There's nothing in the First Amendment whatsoever that covers that. Not a blessed thing. You might recall I said the same thing when Keith Olbermann decided to take his leave of MSNBC. MSNBC didn't violate his free speech rights. He had no free speech rights vis-a-vis MSNBC. The First Amendment applies, write this down, the First Amendment applies to governmental impositions upon speech. But try telling a teabagger that. Good luck. Because they have, while they flog the Constitution, it's just like the Bible, while they flog it, they have no comprehension of what's in it. But that's okay. Judson Phillips going to get him a boycott of going. And I guess resistance.something is going to have them a petition just like the libs did to Glenn Beck. Well, unfortunately for the right wing, they don't have a Stop Beck going for them like we did on our side. But from the "Oh my God, please don't defend me" department came this.
So a word about Hank Jr. Hank Williams Jr. is a friend of mine. Hank's getting a bum rap on this. I mean, Hank's off the hook and insane. But even Bernard would agree that Hank didn't compare Barack Obama to Adolf Hitler. What he said was that the president playing golf with John Boehner would be like Adolf Hitler playing golf with Benjamin Netanyahu.
Right.
So that's 180 degrees from suggesting that the president is, you know, has any characteristics, God forbid, of Adolf Hitler, which is, of course, is insane. So Hank's getting a bum rap, and the folks on Fox and Feeds didn't help him by throwing him right under the bus. So, am I right, Bernie?
No. No, Don Imus. You're dead damn wrong. But that's mainly, Don Imus, because you're a tired, old, washed-up has-been of a moron. And I mean that in the kindest way possible. Now, this is a guy who referred to the Rutgers women's basketball team as a bunch of nappy-headed hoes. I guess it's natural that he would think that Hank Jr. is getting, what do you call it, a bum rap for comparing Barack Obama to Hitler. Because contrary to what Don Imus said, it is exactly what he did. I am cursed with the ability to understand the English language. And Hank Williams, you heard him, said that Barack Obama playing golf with John Boehner is like Adolf Hitler playing golf with Benjamin Netanyahu. That is what we call a simile, as you well know. You can always tell a simile from a metaphor by the fact that in a simile, the word "like" quite often appears. Whereas a metaphor, well, let's see, how would that be a metaphor? Okay, Obama playing with Boehner is Hitler playing golf with Benjamin Netanyahu. That's a metaphor. A simile is to say it is like. And to use the word "like" is to, by definition, engage in a comparison. Damn, from the video I'm seeing here, it looks like they took away Don Imus' cowboy hat from him over there to the Fox Business Channel. Because you see, one thing that just going back for a second, the one thing that Gretchen did, well, let's just finish it out.
Very nice.
From 1938, the very first songs, all the way to 1952, there's three CDs. It's amazing, you know, never say never. It's amazing how many of these treasures have been found in the last few years.
It really fun.
There we see some of your dad in action. Now, with the mother's best collection, I understand some of those master recordings were just thrown in the garbage and somebody finally found them?
That's true, yeah. These are called the Health and Happiness Show, and the mother's best is on another set that has 16 CDs.
All right, well, if people want to check it out, the Mother's Best recordings, as you said, thrown away. Now you can get them at the store. So, Hank Williams, have a great football season. Have fun at the game.
Bye. All right.
I just want to say that we disavow any of those comments or analogies that he made. At least I'm going to say that. Disavow
that.
Well,
that's another thing we call them, Gretchen. We call them analogies. Jesus.
Analogy between Hitler and the president.
Asking to define it. Next up.
And thanks, of course, always go out to the fine folks at Media Matters for America for capturing that clip. An analogy, a simile, yes. A direct comparison. Look up the yeah. And Gretchen just, and she just smiled while she did. Of course, that's all she does is smile. That's her job, is being blonde and smiling. And occasionally babbling right-wing talking points while sitting next to the truly inscrutable Steve Doocy. So, no, Don Imus, no. He is not getting a bum rap. And he really, really did that. He did compare Barack Obama to Adolf Hitler. David in Tennessee sending in a little quote from the Dan Patrick radio show of today in the middle of the show. Quote, I have some background with the four-letter network and their sensitivity to such things. I think the mothership was on the phone to Hank's agent or rep before the interview was over. You act quickly in those circumstances. Sort of like when Rush Limbaugh... And it's this way with the right-wingers all the time. Do you remember when Rush Limbaugh got his little audition with Monday Night Football? And with something approaching the Einsteinian speeds, he couldn't wait until he said that Donovan McNabb got favorable treatment because he's one of those? My friends, you know. You remember that. They can't help it. It's almost genetic. To this day, I mean, and you, me, we, us, have some real qualms with Barack Obama. But they're policy qualms. They're not qualms born of the shade of his skin. But with the teabaggers and the right-wingers and the Republicans, any other qualms that they might have with Barack Obama pale, literally, in comparison to the fact that it does begin and end with the color of his skin. So if I have successfully filibustered for something coming up on 55 minutes now, that must mean that I didn't lose too much in the week that I was gone. Well, the 2 weeks, really, but the week I was sick. God, the dreams you get when you're on that stuff. Whew. Glad to be shed of it. You know, of course, that this is Conversation Radio. Your calls are what drives the program. And consequently, the phone lines are now open, 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on. On your nickel, 304-658-3333. And you can, of course, always reach the program at via email to Bob Kincaid, BobKincaid, @gmail.com. This is America's listener-supported, emphasis on listener-supported, liberal voice. This is The Horn. We'll be back. Green News is next.
shape I'm in. I can't even spell my name, my head's in such a spin. Today I tried to eat a steak with a big old tablespoon. You got me chasing rabbits, walking on my hands and howling at the moon. Well, sugar, I took one look at you and it almost drove me mad. And then I even went and lost what little sense I had. Now I can't tell the day from night, I'm crazy as a loon. You got me chasing rabbits, pulling out my hair and howling at the moon. You got me chasing rabbits, scratching fleas, and howling at the moon. Chasing rabbits, spitting out teeth, and howling at the moon. I never thought in this old world a fool could fall so hard. But honey, baby, when I fell, the whole world must have jarred. I think I'd quit my doggish ways if you take me for your groom. You got me chasing rabbits, picking out rings, and howling at the moon.
Thinking ahead means preparing for the future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
It's Tuesday, October 4, 2011.
What do you call the Koch brothers who fund the Tea Party, who have now gone under investigation for doing business with Iran during the war, who have been bribing companies overseas? They've got six or seven different investigations going on, and we don't cover it.
You heard that right. Koch Industries did business with Iran, despite a ban on trading with the terrorist nation. Speaking of corporate crime, confirmation of bribery by Shell Oil in Nigeria. Meanwhile, Republican investigations into a solar company's bankruptcy halt a U.S. military solar program. Plus,
these people are not here to give up. They're here to win the clean energy race, and they've enlisted to fight the war against climate change.
Let the sun shine, winning clean energy designs at the Solar Decathlon.
All of that and more straight ahead. From BradBlog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
Michigan competed. We got 17 companies projected to create 63,000 jobs just because the president stood up and said, we want to be independent of foreign oil.
Well, that's because the president hates America. This is your Green News Report.
I'm your sucker for sun.
Okay, Des, the Republicans have been on and on for the last 2 weeks about Solyndra, the bankruptcy of this solar company here in the U.S. Meanwhile, enormous corporate crime. We're talking about billions of dollars going on with some of the largest fossil fuel companies like Koch Industry and Shell across the nation.
Yes, a new investigation by Bloomberg News details decades of corporate crimes at the petrochemical giant Koch Industries. That's the place owned by the billionaire Koch brothers, David and Charles, who are major funders of Tea Party Republicans. According to the report, Koch Industries secretly sold millions of dollars of petrochemical equipment to Iran, potentially in violation of the U.S.-Iranian embargo that forbids U.S. companies from doing business with Iran. Koch Industries says they have violated no laws, but the Bloomberg report alleges that Koch Industries also made, quote, improper payments.
Actually, the proper word there is bribes.
You got it. Allegedly to win business in Africa, India, and the Middle East. Now, if true, those actions may open Koch Industries up to prosecution under the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act, a law that prohibits American companies from bribing foreign officials.
Well, that's right. And in the case of Iran, where Koch Industries says they broke no laws, that's because they had a foreign subsidiary do this trading with Iran. In fact, now, an investigation needs to move forward to determine if their U.S. employees in any way were involved with that trading with Iran. Whether it was illegal or not under that law, it certainly violates the spirit of that law. But then again, the Koch brothers don't seem to give much of a damn about the American rule of law. They have a history of violating it to the tune of hundreds of millions of dollars in fines and settlements.
Shell Oil also used bribery of foreign governments overseas. New court documents confirmed this week that Shell Oil secretly paid the Nigerian military and bribed officials to suppress a rebellion of their own people against Shell's operations. Several thousand people were killed in the 1990s as activists in poverty-stricken Nigeria fought Shell to receive just compensation for oil extraction and cleanup of vast pollution of their lands and water supplies.
In a new industry, some companies are going to fail. Well, that's not a scandal. When we were trying to get to the moon, some rockets blew up.
When you're investing in upstream technologies, some are going to fail. But if you place no bets,
right,
you lose every single time.
That was Jennifer Granholm, former governor of Michigan, and Bill Maher on his HBO show Real Time on Friday, defending the Department of Energy loan program as crucial for U.S. clean energy industries to compete with billions in support and subsidies that China and Europe are giving to their clean energy industries. Republicans in Congress have launched several investigations into the high-profile bankruptcy of U.S. solar panel maker Solyndra, which received a $500 million loan from that U.S. Department of Energy loan program. Republicans are attacking the entire loan program, even as more new documents reveal those same Republicans also begged the Energy Department for loans for clean energy companies in their own districts. Now, the political fallout from the Solyndra bankruptcy is hurting other U.S. solar companies. An ambitious new program to put solar panels on military housing on bases around the country called Project Solar Strong has been halted in its tracks. The Department of Energy informed Solar City, the U.S. solar supplier for the program, that it could not approve Solar City's loan by the deadline due to the requirements of responding to Congressional Republicans' investigation of the Solyndra bankruptcy. Finally, other projects in the Department of Energy loan program are plowing forward, says Energy Secretary Stephen Chu.
Some say this is a race America can't win. They're ready to wave the white flag and declare defeat. The students who designed and built these homes have a different view.
Secretary Chu is speaking at the awards ceremony for the U.S. Solar Decathlon, an international design competition sponsored by the Department of Energy that brings student teams from universities around the world to showcase the latest innovations in sustainable and green home design using fully functional, full-scale, super energy-efficient demonstration homes. Check out the innovative, gorgeous designs online. We have the links at our website, greennews.bradblog.com.
Indeed, we do. And we have more on all of today's stories at greennews.bradblog.com, and many we couldn't get to, so check them out there. And while you're there, please consider a donation to help the Green News Report stay on your public airwaves. From bradblog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
We know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right.
We do?
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95?
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention
$24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance, and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Six minutes past the hour, we begin hour number two of this Tuesday night edition of The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid. In case you didn't know, most of you do, but you never know when a newbie's going to wander along. If they do, we'll make them welcome. First-time callers, we've never lost one yet. No fainting spells, no vapors, no fantods. Phone companies, we've lost some. But no first-time callers? No, we've never lost one. So, you know, there you go. A little bit of email rolling in. A lot of welcome backs in the email box. Thank you. Thank you to all of you who said welcome back. Believe me, when I'm gone for like that, it drives me crazy, especially coming on the heels of a long road trip like that. And Jesus, it's frustrating in the extreme. And among other things, let's see, Ron and Raleigh. You tell them, Hank! Hey, Bob. The only talented person named Hank Williams has been dead for a very long time. This poser has been trading on his dead daddy's name for far too long. And Ray noting with regard to Hank's reference to Kid Rock, well, there was a time when Kid Rock and 10 other drunk billies would have beat the Lions, but it ain't now. Oh, what a beautiful comeback that was. See, and to have it happen to the Cowboys couldn't happen to I'd love that. I'd love that a bunch. So, and one more from David in Tennessee regarding the mention of the Solyndra story on the Green News Report. Some damn body needs to hit it over and over and over. Solyndra penciled out well until China became alarmed over our progress. Progress, damn it, and then pumped trainloads of cake into their industry, thus creating cheap panels that invalidated our in-country efforts and business models. So our companies rode the Titanic to the bottom, unable to do much else. But the ugly right frames it very differently. And that's the absolute truth. And of course, they're paid to frame it differently. They're paid by who? Yeah. The coal industry and the oil industry and the gas industry and every industry that doesn't want to see progress on energy sources that aren't coal, oil, and gas. Here's a tack I'm happy to drive. Again and again, remember, there is enough solar energy in a little corner of Nevada to power the United States two or three times over. There is enough wind energy potential in North Dakota to power the United States grid in its entirety two or three times over. The question and the need is for the next generation.
and for the means by which we build that smart grid that gets power from North Dakota and a corner of Nevada, you know, to Boston. But then again, there's enough wind energy off the coast of Massachusetts to power Massachusetts. How often do you hear anyone say that? Not damned very. Because the coal industry and the Koch brothers and the oil and the natural gas industries are deafening in the volume and quantity of their lies. Right? By the way, with regard to fundraising, News Ninja Susan, who really doesn't have it to do with, says, I'm willing to match contributions up to $50. Any takers? So, 5 at 10, 2 at 25, any, however you want to do it, Susan will match it up to $50. Thank you, Susan. Thank you very kindly. Kind of reminds me of, Mark chapter 12. Let's go to the phones, though. Enough shilly-shallying. This is, after all, conversation radio. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob.
Well, hey, Juanita.
Welcome back.
Well, thank you. Thank you kindly.
I really missed you.
believe me, I missed y'all. Folks may not believe that, but it is the absolute unvarnished and fly-blown truth. I did.
Did you get sick when you were on the trip, or did you?
No, no, it only happened when I got back. That was the darndest thing.
Oh, boy.
I got back Friday night, and by 3 o'clock Saturday morning, I thought I was having a heart attack or God knows what.
Yeah.
And it turned out to be this same old problem that has been deviling me for the last 3 or 4 years.
The wrong side out?
Yeah. Bass ackwards insides and everything that goes with it.
Oh, my gosh.
And, of course, no idea of what brings it on.
You still don't know.
No. Every time it happens, they just say, go home, don't eat or drink it, don't eat anything or drink anything except water for 7 days, and then start drinking clear
really?
Liquids and chicken
yeah.
soup until you get back to better.
Nothing but water?
Yeah, 7 days.
Wow.
8, really. I had my first popsicle, I think, Sunday.
Oh, I bet that was good, too. That was...
Oh, you know what? And that first sip of chicken broth?
Oh, yeah.
You know, beef Wellington, the shrimp a la who knows what, nothing could have touched that first sip of chicken broth. It was ambrosia, Juanita.
Yeah, yeah. Well, chicken broth is really good, you know. It's not as good as it used to be because the chickens are where they're fed and raised, but it's still mighty good.
Well, I did take a moment to think about that. It was a can of Campbell's plain old-fashioned chicken and noodle, and I just had the broth.
Okay.
But I sort of fished around through the noodles, and I came to a conclusion. You know, Campbell's probably gets about 200 cans of chicken noodle soup out of one chicken for all the meat that's in it.
Oh, yeah, true. But I've ate many a can of chicken noodle and even chicken and rice.
Oh, yes, indeedy.
But I don't know. I got to worry anymore. I'm kind of funny. I don't know. I get to thinking about things, and you know. But you just have to sometimes say, okay, no matter what, I'm going to eat it. But anyway. You were talking about your election. I heard a little something about that on the news. And is this guy that's in there now, is he supposed to be a Democrat?
Emphasis on supposed to be.
Yeah, okay. That's what I thought. Well, they're talking about what I heard, that, oh, well, they're going to blame Obama because the guy's going to lose.
Oh, they've been blaming Obama.
I thought, well, you wouldn't care. He's part of that Manchin guy. Every time they talk about Manchin, is it Manchin?
Manchin, right.
Every time they talk about him, oh, he voted with the Republicans, you know. Maybe the Democrats are not for Obama's plans and all. No, brother.
Oh, they run ad after an ad. You know, Earl Ray Tomlin, let's see. Expert, let's see. Let me see if I can remember the script, because it's almost burned into right through my eyeballs. Experts say that Obamacare will cause more trouble in our troubled economy. But Earl Ray Tomlin has done nothing to stop it, even though many state governors, they don't mention that they're all Republicans, are fighting in court to stop Obamacare. Yet Earl Ray Tomlin has done nothing. He stands with Obama. And there's this big menacing photograph of an Obama made even more black than he already is. Oh, it's beautiful. Oh, it just, oh, nasty.
Yeah. You know how they call the Society for Prevention of Cruelty to Animals?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we need to start a Society for Prevention of Cruelty to the Citizens of West Virginia.
That's about the truth.
I mean, it's ridiculous that it's kind of like nobody, I mean, like I said before about Eleanor Roosevelt, you know, she had been right there. She'd have been on that mountain. But nobody else seems to be interested to do this in politics.
Well, there are. There's just not enough of them. Because they're also, look, it's a money-driven system, Juanita. And everybody, I mean, that is a horse-gagging load of money that the coal, oil, and gas industry has.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're willing to use it.
Well, it's like somebody wrote in about the solar company. It has to be. You know that's an inside job. They don't want us to have that. It'd be too convenient. You know, it'd be too clean. It would be too nice. It would be too cheap, they think, to have solar power, wind power.
Well, they haven't
said that somebody did. You know, they didn't want that company to benefit. They didn't want that company to make a go of it.
Well, like David in Tennessee noted, they were undercut by the Chinese.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I hadn't heard that before, but that's, yeah, I'm sure.
I mean, the Chinese right now are actively engaged in business practices that are geared strictly, and I'm not anti-China or anything like that. These are just realities that are geared exclusively toward absolutely destroying the ability of the United States to manufacture anything.
Well, they're doing a good job.
Yes, they are.
Now, there was another thing I had thought of. I've not heard anybody say anything about this, but I heard somebody was talking about the Supreme Court, you know, saying that businesses were corporations were people with the same rights. What if they weren't born in the United States?
Where's the birth certificate?
Right.
Yeah, that took me a minute. I'm sorry.
All the corporations couldn't have been born here in the United States.
Well, but it's a matter of registry.
So we can waterboard them. You know, we can...
See, one of the problems with...
rendition. Think about it.
Absolutely, sure.
Today, you know, I thought today I haven't heard anybody talk about that. And I thought, that's something to think about.
But, you know, there is a move afoot, and I'm proud to note where it's coming from. There is a move afoot to impose a sort of corporate death penalty on a corporation.
Well, that would be good.
The Attorney General of the state of Delaware is a man by the name of Bo Biden. He is Joe Biden's son.
Yes, Joe Biden's son.
Right. And there is a petition, or actually maybe a couple of them, or there's one by a couple of separate groups, or however it shakes out, asking Bo Biden to revoke the corporate charter of Massey Energy based upon its lawless, miscreant nature. And if you want to go, if you want to go and look for it, yeah, if you want to go and just, you know, use some sort of search engine and go find it, and folks can sign that petition even. There was a story about it in, and it's a magazine I learned from, you remember Preston, our buddy Preston?
Yeah.
Yeah, Preston was the one who put me on to Yes Magazine, and there was an article about the, about the petition to impose the corporate death penalty on Massey at Yes Magazine. I read it over the weekend.
Yes Magazine is.
Mm-hmm. If you go to, if you just search for Yes Magazine,
mm-hmm.
It's right up there on their main page, I do believe.
A lot of times when he calls in, he'll mention different books and things, and I think, oh, I got to write that down.
Well, Preston is a wellspring of information, and he's really tapped into the way that we get our message out. And this is an important one, Juanita.
Okay.
If it was possible to get the corporate death penalty imposed on Massey, it would be an amazing thing.
That would be wonderful. Be absolutely wonderful. Have you heard heard anything back about that thing they had on CNN about the coal industry, about y'all?
There was some pushback, but we asked them to come back and tell the real story, but there's been not a word heard, nor do I expect there to be any word, because after all, if you recall the teabagger debate from a couple of weeks ago, the entire thing was sponsored on CNN by coal.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I can see that. But
CNN is bought and paid for, where that is concerned.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you're feeling better.
Well, I am, and I am drinking copious amounts of water and not a lot of coffee. Well, the coffee maker died today, so that's another. You know,
oh gosh.
Put it on the list.
Well, you know the things that used to last maybe 5 years. Now you're lucky if they last a year.
This thing has not been in service for. It's not 2 years that it's been on our countertop, and I think it's a Hamilton Beach.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it went dead today. One of the little computer sensors in it has gone sideways. You know, come on, Juanita, I know it's 2011 and we're all high tech and everything, but daggum, really? Does my coffee pot have to have computer sensors?
I don't know. Maybe we're all being recorded and filmed or something on those things.
Lord, it drives me about halfway crazy.
Yeah. Well, listen, I'm going to let you go, and you take care, and I hope you get well soon, and say a little prayer for you.
Well, thank you very kindly.
Whatever.
I appreciate it, Juanita. You have yourself a lovely evening. We'll talk soon.
You too.
All right. Bye.
Oh, I sent you an email that...
Yeah, I read that, about the youngest person ever executed in the United States.
Yeah. Yeah, and I thought I had saw the movie. I did. It was with Lou Gossett. I didn't know if it was real or not, but it actually happened, and it's isn't that horrible? I just thought it was a horrible. Our country, we need to change so much.
Yeah, it took 10 minutes to reach the verdict in South Carolina. What was it? 1940s, 1930s?
I think it was way back yonder, and I think he lived like 90 days after he was found guilty.
Yeah, from the finding of guilt to the execution, a young black man, 14, boy, and I don't mean that in the.
Yeah.
He was a boy, 14 years old, and convicted in 10 minutes' time of murder, and from his conviction to his execution was 90 days. And his defense lawyer said, well, I ain't going to appeal it because the family ain't got no money, more money to pay me to appeal it.
Well, he was
George Stinney. George Stinney was his name.
Yeah, the little boy, yeah. The lawyer was a tax lawyer. He didn't even really know how to...
No.
And,
you know, his is a case worth remembering, Juanita, every time you hear some godforsaken Republican say, we don't need that legal aid, and we don't need them public defenders. They just out there helping the criminals find a loophole. That's all they doing.
Yeah, like the one that fell asleep when he was supposed to be helping out.
Yeah, and you know what? The Texas Supreme Court, the Texas Supreme Court, in the case of a man who was convicted of murder, in a case in which his lawyer literally was asleep during the trial, the Texas Supreme Court held that that was not lawyer malpractice.
Oh, God.
No kidding.
I mean, way I think, Zara, that makes a lot of sense for those kind of people. Like I said, I'm beginning to wonder if they're from this planet. Maybe History Channel's got a...
I wonder if they're from this dimension. They seem more like demons to me, but, well, you know what I mean.
Oh, well, yeah, they've got demons in them for sure. And all around them. My opinion.
I understand, and that's one I share. Juanita, have a wonderful evening,
okay.
Dear. All right, bye now.
Okay, well, you take care.
Okay,
bye.
Juanita calling from Central Florida, and a little note. We are two-thirds of the way to, not two-thirds, two-fifths. We are two-fifths of the way toward meeting Susan's challenge. A very kind $20 contribution just came in from Michael. Thank you, Michael, very, very much. And we roll on. That only meant just $30 more. That'd be lovely. We roll onward. Hey, welcome to the program. Hey, Susan. Speak of the devil, but, you know.
Speak of trouble.
There you go.
Oh, God. There's things to say. Okay. Anybody catch a program a day or two ago about the Marine Commandant, the new Marine Commandant in Afghanistan?
New Marine Commander or the Commandant? The Commandant is the guy who's over all the Marines. Is this the guy who's over the Marines in Afghanistan or the whole blessed corps?
The whole bloody shoot match. Everybody.
Okay.
He happens to be a Marine.
No. Okay, I think we're still at cross purposes. Are you talking about the guy who's commanding Afghanistan or the guy who's the Commandant of the Corps?
No, the guy who's commanding Afghanistan.
Okay.
Yeah, it turns out he's a Marine. He gave an interview that had me screaming.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. I hope you're sitting down.
Strapped in.
Yeah, even though we have signed treaties to that effect, even though we have promised the American people to that effect, he came right out and said, we are here for many, many, many years.
Oh, Lord.
And at the same time, they're talking, this reporter is saying, how many people died, how many American soldiers died today? And so on and so forth. And I'm screaming because I'm saying, you know, this guy is giving out this interview, and I'm saying, screaming, you bloody, blankety blank, expletive deleted.
But what if he was just telling
the
truth, Susan?
But haven't you looked at the Constitution lately? Where does it say we are a military junta?
Where does it say the military makes military policy?
Exactly. And if... Now, here's the deal. If he's trying to make policy, he needs to be fired. If he is not making policy, and that is the policy of the administration, oh boy, do you want to see how fast this country will unite? Teabaggers, left-wingers, the whole nine yards? Just stick around in Afghanistan past 2014.
See, that's the thing. I don't think we're going to be gone in 2014.
Well, this guy is come right out and saying, no, we're going to make no bones about even attempting it. And that's the thing. If we don't even make an attempt, this country's going to explode. I refer you back to the 1960s, fellas.
Yeah, but the 1960s, Susan, was a decade that was filled with young men who had these things called draft cards and therefore had their butts in the sling.
Right, if you looked at New York lately, and Boston, and Seattle, and Portland, and San Francisco, and do I have to go on? It's spreading.
Yeah, I have looked at it. I really, really have. And the media continue to screw up what it's about. Let's see, the latest is that they're anti-capitalist. Well, frankly, I wish they were, but they're not.
Yeah, and what is the one thing that you've always said about all of these demonstrations?
They have to come and stay.
Okay, yeah, they're staying. They're not going anywhere.
And, of course, it grieves me mightily. I was supposed to be in D.C. right now. And I had planned to be in D.C. on the 6th for the beginning of what's happening there.
Yeah.
But
take over D.C.
Yeah, I can't travel right now.
Right.
But there is still work to be done with these occupations, Susan. And it's beginning to happen a little bit. When the airline pilots showed up, when the teachers showed up.
Showed up. Exactly.
That's incredibly important. And I guess Trumka made a speech in which he made his mouth make some approving words about it. But they got to march in there. They got to be a huge part of it. It is happening, and I honor greatly the organizations that have stepped up, but we need more.
Yeah. In New York, some of the firefighters are just starting to show up. And it doesn't, you know, the thing that helped this thing along was that
the pepper gas and the arrests on the Brooklyn Bridge. Yeah.
Exactly. Because it went from nothing to viral.
And I've seen some complaints, even from those on our side. I read an article by, I believe, Ian Murphy at Crooks and Liars today, talking about how, you know, there's the smell of a lot of patchouli in the air, and there's a lot of people that he said it resembled a fish concert more than a protest, which was kind of backhanded. But
yeah.
I much prefer the attitude that Michael Moore struck, and that is that somebody has to go first.
Yeah.
And they have gone first, and they're not leaving, and this is valuable, and it is important.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
would you like to read over the air what my SIG line is?
Let me pull it up here real quick.
And that's been there since...
Message to all governments. Have you taken a look at Egypt lately? Pay attention.
Yeah. It's spreading. It spread from the Middle East. All over the Middle East. And it's spreading here. And I expected it to spread here.
Well, I think I've heard so much
months ago.
Yeah, and I've heard so much silly vacuousness. You know, I wake up early in the morning and I catch that stupid show on MSNBC, in which the idiot in charge said something. Oh, what was it? I had it right on. Oh, the protesters were there supporting Barack Obama.
No.
What?
No.
No, not even a little bit. No, I mean, I guess there's somebody there with a hope poster or something, but no, that's not what it's about at all.
They're against Wall Street. They're not for anything.
And it's not that they're against Wall Street per se. It is that they are against Wall Street ripping the rest of us off.
Exactly.
It is the complaint of the homeowner about the burglar.
Exactly. And they don't care who it is. There's teabaggers down there. There's communists down there. There are liberals down there. There's centrists down there. There's conservatives down there. Everybody's down there. It runs the entire gamut.
And I love the remark, like I said, of Michael Moore in talking to Keith Olbermann. He said, a lot of the liberal elite are responding to this the same way our parents responded to the Beatles. Now, what is that? I can't understand a word they're saying. Why don't they play a tune I can dance to?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now, here's...
So I'm just trying real hard to make sure that I'm not one of those people.
Yeah. I'm sitting there going, dang, if I could get there, I could. I would. But no. I'm housebound. And I can't. I wish.
I know.
Now, people, if you can't get there, there's something on television that's rather important.
Yes?
And it's running right now. They ran the second part last night. The third part is tonight.
Ken Burns?
Ken Burns.
Prohibition.
Prohibition. Now, you may ask yourself, what do I care about a bunch of booze? Pay attention.
It's not what it's about at all.
Yeah, because it's about a very tiny, religiously oriented splinter movement hijacking the entire United States government.
And they did it, and what's fascinating is they did it With the cooperation of progressives.
With progressives, with conservatives, with everybody's. They even got the Wobblies and...
Yeah, the Wobblies were in with them.
Yeah, they got everybody to go in on it. And they passed Prohibition.
I didn't get to see episode 2 last night because we were tied up, you know, doing the Dr. Bill chat.
It should be up on the net. I'm hoping it will be.
Episode 2 was a nation of scofflaws, and it it really looked, and so it's running again tonight?
The third part is running tonight.
Right, that's right. Episode 3 is running, right.
Yeah.
But you couldn't watch the first episode of it, Susan, without noting the parallels, and it's not even so much parallels, it is literally the origin of political activism in this country.
Yeah.
And that one guy, Wayne B., what's his name, of the Anti-Saloon League?
Oh, yeah, this guy.
He wrote it, for all intents and purposes, he wrote a textbook that the right wing is still using.
Yeah. Now, here's the deal, guys. When you look at this and you see the parallels, and then you hear me call up and go on and on and on and on, as I cheerfully admit I tend to rant about history repeating itself.
Not just that, Susan, but there's something else in conjunction with this that bears mentioning, and I'm glad you brought the whole topic up, and that is this. Yesterday, Van Jones delivered opening remarks at the Take Back the American Dream conference, which I was also supposed to be attending in D.C. this week. Thank you, my innards. No, you don't. Well, you would have been able to watch it on the horn. It would have been cool. But anyway, he made a remark about comparing the right wing's activism with our activism. Because I don't want to call us the left wing. You know, what left? We're just the normal people. And he said, And the reason I mention this is because it fits so perfectly with that anti-Saloon League the thread that ran through the episode one of Prohibition.
Mm-hmm.
He said the right wing talks individualism, but they act collectively.
They're as conformist as army ants.
They talk individualism, but they act collectively.
Oh, yeah.
And then he said, on the other hand, on our side, do I really have to say it? And somebody in the audience screamed, say it! It was like Rocky Horror or something. And he said, on our side, we talk collectivism, but we act individually.
Yeah, it's like herding cats.
Well, you know, yeah, I mean, you know where I stand on herding cats. You know, you open a can of little Friskies and you can get some to come along. We're not herding cats on our side, Susan. We're wrangling butterflies.
Oh, God, that's even better. Well, one of the things that really, really made me sit up and take notice is because one of the people that they profile as one of the prime bootleggers of all time, and pay attention, you people in the Pacific Northwest, this is a gentleman by the name of Olmsted. Now, there's a lot of streets in Seattle named parks, all that stuff.
Named Olmsted?
Of course.
Sure. You know, David in Tennessee has been watching this and was the one that reminded me to catch episode one. And he says, he reminds me, yeah, the guy's name was Wayne B. Wheeler. How I can forget Wheeler when I think of fighting Joe Wheeler. Wayne B. Wheeler. And David in Tennessee notes the current war in drugs is cut from the same template.
Yeah.
I mean, right down to the outright dishonest propaganda. Anybody who's ever sat through a screening of Reefer Madness knows that most of the war on drugs is and has been founded on lies. Now, the fact of the matter is, and I'm not making any big bones about it, the fact of the matter is, for the last week, I have been using more potent drugs than anything that I could get illegally within a 50-mile radius.
Yeah, my husband had the same thing. Yeah, I know what you had. My husband had it. And that's the only time that man ever begged for drugs. And they gave them to him. And he...
Oh, I didn't even have to beg. They just looked at me and said, here they are. Take them.
Yeah. He flew around that hospital bed quite nicely.
Oh, I had Samuel Taylor Coleridge dreams that just wouldn't quit. I mean, I was ready to wake up the next morning and write the magical mystery tour. But the funny thing is, when you've got that kind of pain, it doesn't mess you up.
Mm-hmm.
It just makes you able to tolerate your existence.
Well, because you're burning it off.
But I spent that time just sort of looking around going, how in the world does anybody like this? I mean, forgive me, I couldn't help it. I spent that time thinking of Rush freaking Limbaugh, which was probably no good for my gut either.
No.
And I thought, what was the fascination, Rush? I mean, if you don't have a lot of pain and you take it, you become fascinated with your shoelaces. Wow. You know, that ain't me. That ain't me.
Donald just laid there with a silly grin on his face and never could figure out where he was.
I wish I'd had the silly grin. I guess maybe they didn't hit me as hard as they hit him, or maybe it was lower dosage or something, but all I know is I'm glad that I'm shed of it.
Well, his was strictly injectable, and it was...
Oh, that's... Yeah, okay. That's high caliber. I was still eating pills.
Yeah. Yeah, no pills. His was, he was way beyond the pills.
But,
they were within a minute little hair of hauling him down to surgery.
Well, in my instance, I guess I'm lying. I had something more than water over those 7 days. I had water and pills.
Mm-hmm.
But that does not a dinner make.
Yeah, he couldn't even tolerate that. So, you know, it was just strictly injectable, and then, you know, it was just, yeah. And then he got on a waiting list he was on a waiting list until the day he died, waiting to get his gallbladder up. And he never got off it.
Hmm.
I won't say anything. By the way, being Scots, are you by any chance Irish as well?
Oh, I'm sure. I'm Scots-Irish, which means that some portion of my family left Scot. Well, you know the line. They fell on the ground and prayed to God, and then fell on the Irish and prayed on them.
Yeah, okay.
But there might be some real, live, honest-to-goodness Irish in there somewhere.
Would you like a no-fat version of Culcannon soup?
Send it along.
This is the food porn
portion of the program, absolutely.
Yes. In fact, I made some yesterday because it's been rainy and icky. But if you, if you use no-fat broth, you can make no-fat Culcannon soup, and it's pretty good.
Sounds yummy. Anything beyond Campbell's chicken and noodle.
Well, it's got solid stuff in it, but, you know.
Yeah, I know, but chicken and noodle that first sip was ambrosia, but it gets a little tired after a while.
Yeah, I understand that. I understand that. But I'll run it by Nurse Agnes, and we'll see.
All right.
You can have it, and I will send her the easy goodie, and we'll see. It's easy to make, and we'll see if we can get you set up.
No, I just called up the non-low-fat recipe, and damn, it looks good.
Oh, dude, the non-low-fat recipe is a heart attack waiting to happen.
Yeah. All right, Susan, have yourself a good night, dear, and thanks for the challenge.
No problem. Let me know when somebody hits it.
Well, we're 2/5 of the way there, or 4/10, depending on how you slice it.
Cool.
All right. Take care.
Love to Agnes and the kids.
Sure thing. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye. News Ninja Susan calling from Oregon. And, hey, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
Are you talking to me?
I am.
Okay, you're talking to Ed.
Oh, hey, Ed. How you doing, buddy?
What's going on? I've been trying to get through for a while.
I've been pushing buttons and answering lines, so I finally got you.
Well, where's Agnes at? She's supposed to answer.
No, Agnes hadn't answered the phone for years and years. She's back in the mansion.
Well, you probably got a mansion.
Yeah, oh, I do. A mansion where the rain comes through the roof.
I was hearing some crazy talk there. That one lady you had on there a while ago, she sounded a little bit nutty.
No, not at all. Don't say things like that, Ed.
Well, she was, I mean, a little over the top.
I didn't think so in the least.
At least in my opinion.
In what regard?
Well, she is so, I mean, and I don't know. I guess I just don't know, but I am not so far left that I hate everything that other side does.
Okay, but what are you? I mean, I'm losing the point of reference here.
Well, hell, I don't even remember what the hell she was talking about because you've had a couple people on since then.
Oh, are you talking about Juanita?
Yeah, Juanita. I think that was her.
Yeah.
She's hardcore.
No, I don't think so. I think she just lives in reality, and you know, she's in Florida and knows what the weirdest of the weird are all about. Because Florida is home to some pretty seriously weird, especially where the right wing are concerned.
Well, so is Northwest Iowa. You know, but I mean.
Well, that's true. I mean, yeah. they're all geared up for the caucuses out there now, and the weird are out of the woodwork, aren't they?
Oh, it's bad. I just got told this morning that Obama is a nigger terrorist.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. And you know why?
Any number of reasons. He's a Kenyan Muslim.
No, it has nothing to do with politics or anything like that.
Just
want to know why.
Yeah.
Because Hank Williams Jr. got took off of Monday Night Football.
Oh, gee.
So now Obama is
a terrorist.
I hate to say the
Yeah, let's don't. Yeah, let's don't. Just
okay.
Yeah.
He is an N-word terrorist. That's what I was told.
I guess why, Ed? Because these idiots are watching Monday Night Football for the intro that they've been watching for 20 years? The game? Oh, God.
It's been, well...
They're loonies.
Well, I agree with that, but and that's what I was calling about, was Hank Jr. And, I mean, I really like his music. You know, I always have, and I've always known that he was Republican. And I don't care, you know, when it comes to that, because I like his
music. No, it's good. But it's good on a Saturday night in a honky-tonk when the beer is flowing freely. I'll grant you that.
But he is an N-bomb terrorist. That's what I heard today. And I pretty much heard that from Hank Williams Jr. this morning. I pretty much heard the same thing, didn't you?
Oh, that he said he's like Hitler. You know, playing golf with John Boehner is the same as committing genocide.
Well, then what is John Boehner? I'm not going to stoop low enough to call him Boehner. I call him Boehner. That's his name.
Well, that's the way he says it's pronounced, but I don't know any Germans that pronounce it that way. But
okay, well, anyway, I'll go with his pronunciation. But either way, what does that make him?
Well, Hank Williams says he's Benjamin Netanyahu. Now, never mind the fact that the poor old drug-addled Hank was mixing his centuries and mixing his historical eras and mixing it, you know. But that's mainly because before he ever got on the set, he'd been mixing drinks.
Oh, geez, he's a hardcore.
Oh, he was a waste.
I figure he was on whiskey again.
Oh, no, I mean, Hank is on more things than you and I can count, and half of it's stuff we can't pronounce.
I just wish I could, you know, try him once and just see and find out if it's any good. You know, because obviously he's got a head that's crazy.
Well, just remember, Ed, like I said in the beginning of the program, he wasn't doing real. He wasn't exactly leading life sanitary before it happened, but after he had that climbing accident, he went. You know, he was literally brought back to life and has lived on certain and sundry pharmaceuticals from that day to this.
Well, I didn't hear the beginning of the program because I have to get you online, and when I get on, that's when I get a chance to get on and. I didn't hear anything about that.
Yeah.
Man, that dude is nuts.
There's a big difference between being nuts and being hateful, and Hank is hateful. Of course, now he'll get a career boost from the right wing, and I guess they'll probably trot him out at Tea Party events, and so he can call...
He will not get a career boost. Okay, and I'll tell you why. Do you remember Jimmy the Greek?
Yeah.
What did he say that caused him to be eliminated from public television?
Yeah, it was some sort of racial epithet. I don't remember precisely.
The effect.
But it was a different time as well.
No, it wasn't that far of a different time. Mark my words.
Hank will have a rejuvenated career out of the Tea Party movement for the same reason that Ted Nugent got his career rejuvenated by the right wing when he told when he was on stage and told Hillary Clinton to suck the muzzle of his machine gun.
Yeah, but he's getting it from the Tea Party, and that's it, or from the Republican Party. I don't see a big difference between the two.
Well, there isn't one.
But he's not going to be on live TV anymore. He is done. He screwed up. Okay, now, do you remember what happened with Fuzzy Zeller?
Yeah.
Do you know who Fuzzy Zeller is?
I sure do. I'm a golfer, okay. Or an ex-golfer.
He was a golfer. And what did Fuzzy Zeller do?
Fuzzy wondered if after Tiger Woods won his first Masters, whether they would serve fried chicken and watermelon at the banquet.
It was, from what I remember, it was fried chicken and collard greens.
Okay, well.
But he had...
Six of one, half dozen of another. The intent was the same.
Right. He had a big contract with Kmart. Okay, selling his golf clubs. He lost everything he had. Hank Jr. is done. They are going to come up with a new song, and they're going to start something different. Hank is done. And if you think about it, in the past, okay, because Hank has been doing this for 23 years. What has Hank done in the last 23 years?
He's been Hank. He's been. But see, I mean, you watch football. Who is it? Who's the beautiful woman who is singing on the college football intro? Is that Faith Hill?
Oh, I think Faith Hill did some. I think she did a few Monday night.
Well, but I noticed with the beginning of the new college football season, there's a similar intro. No. She sings the intro to NBC's Sunday Night Football.
Oh, okay. Okay, you might be right. I don't know. I don't have satellite.
Well, maybe it's not Faith Hill, Ed. A beautiful female country star in black leather pants. I mean,
I think that was Faith Hill. But what I'm saying, Hank is done, dude. And if you don't see it,
well, I've got a bet on the table, Ed. Coming from David in Tennessee, I got a bet on the table from Ed, from David in Tennessee. He says, "Look for Hank and Toby Keith to cut a duet about America." Want to bet against that?
Toby Keith, he's worse than Hank.
And yet, holds himself out as being a Democrat.
He ain't no Democrat. He never has been. Who are you trying to...
He said in interview after interview, Ed, that he is a registered Democrat and a very conservative one.
Well, hell, I could register as a Democrat, Republican, but I can still vote Democrat. Toby Keith ain't no Democrat. Who are you trying to kid? Come on, man.
But you can almost hear the duet now, can't you? Hank Williams and Toby Keith with a song about loving America.
Yeah, you brought up Ted Nugent. Okay, if you look back, and I don't remember exactly what year it is, but if you look up the Chicago, I don't know if it's the Times or what paper it is, he did an interview. And I've seen the interview where he told how he got out of the draft back in the 60s or early 70s. That dude, he S-bombed his pants. He did all kinds of crap. And I'll tell you, I don't remember.
Yeah, exactly. he soiled himself, refused to change clothes, urinated on himself. Ted Nugent? Yeah, I mean, it's real. He did it.
Okay, so...
And then began having sex with a foster daughter who became his main I don't know,
so
he may have married her.
He's a good American?
Well, hell, they had him to a Honor America Labor Day rally down here. Don Blankenship invited him. No kidding. And of course he's a great American on Fox.
Well,
and that's why I say that Hank Williams Jr. will become the darling of the teabaggers, because Judson Phillips, the head of one of those teabagging outfits, has already declared that he's a boycotting ESPN because they done violated Hank's First Amendment rights.
Okay, well, then you tell me this. All right. If all these people that are so for Hank... What branch of the service did they serve in? Because I served 8 years in the United States Army.
Right.
What branch of the service did Hank serve in? What branch of the service did Ted Nugent serve in?
That would be not.
What, buddy? They didn't serve.
Right. They are what is commonly referred to as chicken hawks. They're happy to have somebody... They're happy to have somebody else go do the shooting and the killing and the dying, as long as it ain't them.
Well, I've never heard it put that way. I just call them pussies.
No, they're chicken hawks. It's a well-established term.
Well, I kind of like, you know, if, I mean...
And they've earned the Yellow Elephant Medal with oak leaf clusters.
I can't get down on the chicken hawk.
I mean, that's just the word. That's the phrase for him.
Well, I think that's a bad phrase, because the reason why I feel that way, because you're old enough to know and remember watching Foghorn Leghorn.
Oh, I'm a rootin' tootin' chicken hawk, and I'm going to get me a chicken.
Yeah, but he wasn't no pussy.
No.
He was all about being a tough guy. He tried his ass off. Those guys, they are not anywhere near being a chicken hawk.
They're lower.
They are, oh, Jesus, they are completely lower. They are not chicken hawks. They are pussies.
Okay, we've reached the 3P word, we've reached the 3P word limit, Ed.
Okay, they're wimps.
Yeah, there we go.
Okay, now I got a W to come in there, right? So do I get three W's?
Oh, I don't know.
No. Oh, I only get one. all I'm saying is those guys are just nasty people. They are just reaping their rewards because people were stupid enough to buy their line of crap. And, I mean... Hell, I could write a song that's America's gonna kick your ass.
I'm gonna put a boot in. Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah. That guy, he ain't no Democrat. Jeez, come on, dude.
just telling you what he claims.
Well, he can claim it all he wants, but all you got to do is ask him, "How do you vote?" And if
I vote for America.
All you got to do is ask him, and if he's half a man, he'll tell the truth. And the truth is, he votes Republican.
Wouldn't doubt it in the least.
Obvious. That's just obvious. He don't vote Democrat. There is no way. There is no way in the world. Because where he's from and what he does... If he voted for a Democrat, they would do kind of like what they did to the Dixie Chicks. You remember that?
Well, and he was in on that, Ed.
Well, that's what I'm saying. He's not a Democrat, and he can say that all he wants. And even the Republicans know he's lying, but they don't care. That's because they're Republican. Isn't that obvious?
One would think, yes.
But so now, which way do we go with this?
Hard to say. But I'm thinking, I'm kind of, well, we're at the top of the hour, and I need to take a little break, and I hope you'll give us a call back, Ed.
All right. Talk to you later. Bye.
All right. Take care, Ed. Bye now. From Northwest Iowa, that's our buddy Ed. Ed's been listening a long time. And, he deals with some crazy out there. Remember, I think it's Steve King, that crazy bastard in the House of Representatives, that comes from out that neck of the woods. But Ed mentioned something. And it bears mentioning, or it bears elaborating on. And I'm glad he did, because I was thinking on it earlier today when I saw it pop up in the New York Times in the story about how Chris Christie has decided that he isn't going to run for president. And I read the story, or a blog post maybe is what it was, I'm not sure. But the language in the story just kind of, there were a couple of places where I went, what? Yeah, it's from the politics and government blog of the New York Times. It's called The Caucus. Now is not my time to run, Christie says. I like to call him Chris Crisco. Some people call him Christy Green. And I say this as a big guy myself. He's a jackass. But never mind that. There's language here that just sort of... You remember when Ed said a minute ago he can't tell the difference between the Republicans and the teabaggers? Well, there is no effective difference. And there's a paragraph in this particular story. Two paragraphs, really. With Mr. Christie out, and you have to... Okay, I got to use the news voice. With Mr. Christie out, when he was never in, attention will quickly turn back to the rivalry between Mitt Romney and Rick Perry for the Republican nomination. Just an aside here. Are you guys familiar with bad lip reading? If you haven't become familiar with it yet, you really should. There's no point in me playing it on the program because it is entirely a visual experience. Just look up bad lip reading. And there's one called Rick Perry Soundbite. And what they do is they go silent with the video and just do bad, literally bad lip reading of what the people are saying. And it is nothing short of hilarious. Suffice to say that Rick Perry's new campaign slogan is Save a Pretzel for the Gas Jets. But the new song that they've done with Barack Obama is pretty damn funny, too. And it's not demeaning or anything. It's just what happens if you engage in bad lip reading. With Mr. Christie out, attention will quickly turn back to the rivalry between Mitt Romney and Rick Perry for the Republican nomination. Polls suggest that Mr. Perry's support has dropped significantly after recent problems on the campaign trail and in debates. Problems. This is, I guess, journalistic minimalism. Mr. Romney, meanwhile, continues to have difficulty earning the support of Tea Party advocates and other conservatives in the Republican Party. And that's the sentence, and it's a paragraph all to itself, but that's the sentence that made me went, what? Mr. Romney, meanwhile, continues to have difficulty earning the support of Tea Party advocates and other conservatives in the Republican Party. Well, who the hell else is there? I mean, that's pretty much the Republican Party. And they don't trust him because he done that Romney care. And the teabaggers don't, and of course, it's all what, it's the music between the notes, as it were. What the New York Times will not say, but is the absolute truth. Is that there's a whole bunch of people that don't trust Mitt Romney because of the magic underwear problem. Now, it's one thing to be Harry Reid and get elected in Nevada where there's a bunch of magic underwear people. It is another thing to get a lot of Americans who neither trust nor like the magic underwear crowd to bite. And I can say this and not feel bad about it because I think it's all pretty dumb. Ferg was kind of blown away when we were down in Kentucky, because this one young man came up, and I mean, he was all filled with the glory of the Lord and everything. And I'm the wrong guy to, I was there, I'm in peace, you know, I'm all kumbaya. But I'm the wrong guy to argue scripture with. And I really can't help myself when it comes right down to it. I was sitting in the smoking gazebo. And he was in the smoking gazebo, and I was trying to be respectful of the college and not smoke outside the smoking gazebo because they ask you to do that, or not do that as it were. And he starts in on me about Jeebus, and after a while, I guess he feels comfortable enough with me that he starts asking me about my beliefs. And he says, well, do you believe in the resurrection? And this is where Ferg was blown away, because I just looked at the dude and went, no. Who in their right mind would? How many other times has that happened? Happened to your granddaddy? Grandma? Anybody? It didn't happen. It didn't happen because it doesn't happen. And even if it did, I would be disinclined to follow a zombie. Now, I don't say that to put anybody off. It's just where I am. Because I actually... And then, you know, once the door was open, I began to explain some stuff to the young man. Because he started trying to quote scripture at me. And he quoted, galoshes or flip-floppians or whatever. And I said, Buster, before you start quoting that crap at me, you might want to know that that what you're quoting was a forgery. Those things are attributed to Paul. Paul didn't write them. Nobody who knows anything about the origin of Scripture thinks he wrote them. You get my point. But, Ferg has remarked on that numerous times now. Yeah, and the guy said, do you believe in the resurrection? Dad just looked at him as plain as day. No? Why do you? But the point is, these fundamentalists, you know, I don't think much of any of it because it calls on you, it just calls on you to do too many things with your brain that are impossible for a rational person to do. But the fundamentalists, the Baptists and the Methodists and so forth, and that hateful wing of the Presbyterian Church and whatever else the Dominionists and whatever have gotten their hooks into, well, they not only don't trust, they don't like the Mormons. Because they do not accept the Mormons as being another Christian sect. It's not like the Baptists and the Methodists. You know, they'll make little jokes, but they all understand they're following the same thing. No. I mean, a Baptist will tell you, if they're being honest, straight out, that a Mormon is not a Christian. By their lights. Some Methodists will do the same thing. And so the thing that the New York Times piece was hemming and hawing over and dancing around was the fact that it's not Tea Partiers and other conservative Republicans Mitt Romney has a problem with, Willard Romney. It is the fundamentalists who own the Republican Party. And own it, they do. There's no getting around it. Mitt Romney is never going, even in the face of, you know, that one, Mitt Romney is never going to inspire the kind of fervor that will bring the weird little right-wingers out from behind the baseboards where they live. Not saying that to be mean. It's just a dadgum reality. And that is the Mitt Romney problem. And it's not going to go away. And that is why Willard Romney, who, in order to be a successful Republican in the northeastern United States, had to be somewhat moderate by Republican standards, certainly not by Democratic or otherwise normal standards. That's why Mitt Romney, Willard Romney, grandson of an illegal immigrant, has to say hateful garbage like he says. To wit, that, where is it? I had it a minute ago. I'll find his smiling face in a second. Yeah, here it is. You know what happened with that debate where the gay soldier stood up and the entire audience jeered him? And not one of the Republican candidates for president would say, stop that. For reasons that escape my full comprehension, they persist in bringing tired old John McCain out for the Sunday news programs. Now, John McCain was asked about the booing of the gay soldier on Face the Nation. He said this.
Welcome to the broadcast. The first thing I want to ask you about this morning, at the recent Republican debate, the audience booed when a gay soldier asked a question and the candidates on stage said nothing. Last night, the president jumped all over that at a gay rights dinner. Now, I know you opposed ending Don't Ask, Don't Tell, but I want to play a bit of what the president said and get your reaction here.
We don't believe in that. We don't believe in standing silent when that happens. We don't believe in them being silent since. You want to be commander-in-chief? You can start by standing up for the men and women who wear the uniform of the United States, even when it's not politically convenient.
So what about that, Senator McCain? Did the president have a point?
I think he has a point, but the fact is the overwhelming majority of Americans support the men and women who serve in the military, no matter what their sexual orientation is.
Well, as far as it goes, that's true. If you watched the first episode of Ken Burns' Prohibition and the section on Wayne B. Wheeler, there was something said there that needs to go all the way to people's toenails, especially on our side of the on our side of this struggle. And that was that Wayne B. Wheeler understood that in order to get what he wanted, i.e. prohibition, he did not have to have a majority. All he had to have was whatever that margin was that it took to throw a person out of office. And I would suggest that we, like I said, get that in us all the way to our toenails. Because what John McCain says is true. A majority of Americans do support the men and women who serve under the colors. The teabaggers and the people who attend these little hate pageants that pass for Republican debates are not a majority of America. A majority of America, some 82%, wants to see the filthy rich pay their fair share in taxes. The teabaggers don't. A majority of this nation wants to see our men and women come home from conflict areas in Afghanistan, Iraq, and elsewhere. The teabaggers don't. Unless they're Ron Paul people, in which case they're right for the wrong reasons. The teabaggers are not there to create a majority in this country. They are there to be projected as one. And God knows CNN, NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, CNBC, to a certain extent MSNBC, have done a damn fine job of pretending that the teabaggers are a majority. But they are not. As John McCain noted, they give lip service to supporting the troops, and they put little Chinese yellow ribbon magnets on their vehicles, if they're still there. And that is as far as their patriotism extends. And that's the best that John McCain could do.
Well, yeah, I guess he's got a point, but America loves the troops.
Do please continue, Senator McGrumpy.
I oppose the repeal without the assessment of effect on enlistment morale, battle effectiveness, etc. But the
problem is, even after that was done, he still opposed it. He's a homophobe. He just is.
The fact is that we should honor every man and woman who is serving in the military and should in no way treat them with anything but the highest regard. Different from the war that you and I had some involvement
well,
in.
Well, do you think that the Republican candidate should have spoken up at that debate about that?
I do, but a lot of times, you know, when you're in a debate, you're thinking about what you're going to say and what the question is going to be. It's hard to react sometimes, so, but I'm sure that I would bet that every Republican on that stage did not agree with that kind of behavior.
Bullshit. I can say that because this is the internet. Every Republican on that stage did agree. That is why they were silent. That is why they were silent when the crowd was cheering for a man to be left to die on a church floor. Because that's how they are. They are not a majority. They are a vocal and ignorant minority. But they are all that it takes in a close election where video game voting is in play. They are all that it takes. To swing an election. and that goes all the way back to 1900 and Wayne B. Wheeler. And that is why, when he was challenged over this, Willard Romney still couldn't quite get there.
Governor, there's a lot of chatter going on in the mainstream media about some of the goings-on at the debates, including a question from a soldier in Afghanistan or Iraq who happened to be gay. Could you hear the question and answer from this guy, from your position on stage?
I heard the question and answer, yeah. And, I mean, and you hear a lot. You don't hear everything going on. Obviously, you're concentrating on the people on the stage and what you're going
to
say.
Well, there was audible to the home audience, mm-hmm, boos from a couple of people or 30 people, I don't know, in the audience. And I couldn't tell from home whether you people on stage could hear the boos, and if you did hear the boos, what was your reaction to them?
Actually, I think we can hear the boos. I would tell you that in these debates, there's been a lot of booing and a lot of applause, cheering and booing.
Well, that certainly settles things.
Some of which I don't agree with. Now, I have not made it my practice to scold the audience and say, I disagree with this person, I agree with that person, because it goes in a lot of different directions. I don't recall whether this soldier, whether people were booing his question or just booing him.
Yeah, because that's what teabaggers do. I don't know if they were booing his question or if they were just booing. Boo! Boo! You know, just like something out of The Princess Bride. Boo! Boo! But the editor of the Manchester Union Leader straightens him up.
But as soon as he identified himself as a gay person.
They booed as soon as he identified as a gay person.
Look at that. I don't know when they booed. I don't know why people booed. But I will tell you that the boos and the applause has not always coincided with my own views. But I haven't stepped in to try and say, this one's right, this one's wrong. And instead, I focus on the things that I think ought to say.
I ask because...
Interesting. Interesting. Because this interview happened yesterday, October the 3rd, when John McCain said on Face the Nation on October the 2nd, well, you know, when you're a candidate up there, you're thinking about what you're going to say next. And Willard Romney said what?
Applause has not always coincided with my own views. But I haven't stepped in to try and say, this one's right, this one's wrong, and instead I focus on the things that I think ought to say.
I asked because I think it was Herman Cain over the weekend was asked about it, and he said in effect that he should have criticized whoever was booing in the audience.
I understand his thoughts, yeah.
Yeah. But yours are, you're not going to get started.
There were people who cheered when the statement was made at the Reagan Library that a number of 200 some odd people have been executed in Texas.
Yeah.
I don't know that cheering for executions is something I would agree with either, but I don't raise my hand and say, please let me talk. I want to tell everyone you shouldn't be cheering.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't made it my practice to listen to the cheers and the boos and then try and correct the people on their expressions of their views.
In short, whatever it is they're cheering or booing about, Willard is going to ride the fence and get an ass full of splinters. It's pathetic, isn't it? It's sad. The Republican Party is at a place where its leading light politicians cannot actually speak with anything even remotely. Never mind honesty. They can't even speak with anything remotely resembling their own personal candor. Mitt Romney couldn't say that it was wrong to boo a gay soldier because he needs the vote of people who hate gay people. And remember, his own Mormon church is chock-a-block with people who hate gay people. And if he said something about it, well, you know, maybe they'd forgive him. Because I'm sure he's an elder and he's got the underwear and the whatever. But it would be over with the Southern Baptists and the hard-shell Methodists and all the creepy crawlies in the right wing of the Republican Party who constitute those margins that whoever gets the Republican nomination absolutely must have. And he's got to dance around it. And it's just, well, par for the course, I suppose. I mean, Jesus, what do you want from a party 49% of whose registered membership, what do you want from a party 49% of whose registered membership doesn't even know what GOP means? Vanity Fair and CBS got together in a poll, and they asked Americans what the abbreviation GOP means, and 49% of Republicans got it wrong. This is kind of like that poll where they asked deeply religious people to explain what religions were about, and the atheists got more right than the believers did. Only 45% of Americans correctly identified GOP as Grand Old Party. Over a third of respondents thought that it meant government of the people. 34% of Republicans, 32% of independents, and 39% of Democrats chose that one. 7% of those surveyed thought it stood for grumpy old people. 3%, and the majority of this 3% were Republicans, who thought it stood for God's own party. 1% of respondents thought it stood for Gauntlet of Power. 9% were clueless. Margins. 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 So we've got about 28 minutes or so left in the program. We'll take a little break. We'll come back. If you've got something on your mind, now would be a good time to light up the phone. Otherwise, I'm going to filibuster for the next 25 minutes or so after the break. We are still looking for that last $30 to meet Susan's challenge. 20 in, 30 to go. And that will push us up over the $100 mark for fundraising in this young month of October, which will be the old month of October before we even know it. It'll put us up to around $150 out of the $2,500 that we need to raise every month. The PayPal button is at headonradionetwork.com, as is the snail mail address, as you prefer. This is The Horn.
A new girl who's almost a lady. She had a way with all the men in her life. Every inch of her blossom and beauty. She was born on the 4th of July. Well, she lived in an aluminum house trailer. And she worked in a jukebox saloon. And she spent all the money that I give her just to see the old man in the moon. I used to sleep at the foot of Old Glory and awake in the dawn's early light. But much to my surprise, when I opened eyes, I was a victim of the Great Compromise. Well, we'd go out on Saturday evenings to the driving on Route 41. And it was there that I first suspected that she was doing what she'd already done. She said, "Johnny, won't you get me some popcorn?" And she knew I had to walk pretty far. And as soon as I passed through the moonlight, she hopped into a foreign sports car. I used to sleep at the foot of Old Glory and awake in a dawn's early light. But much to my surprise, when I opened my eyes, I was a victim of the great compromise. Well, you know, you could have beat up that fella, but it was her that had hopped into his car. And many times fought to protect her, but this time she was going too far. Now some folks, they call me a coward, 'cause I left her at the driving that night. But I'd rather have names thrown at me than to fight for a thing that ain't right. I used to sleep at the foot of Old Glory and awake in the dawn's early light. But much to my surprise, when I opened my eyes, I was a victim of the great compromise. Well, she writes all the fellas love letters, saying greetings, come and see me real soon. And they go and line up in the barroom, spend the night in that sick woman's room. But sometimes I get awful lonesome, and I wish she was my girl instead. But she won't let me live with her, and she makes me live in my head. I used to sleep at the foot of Old Glory and awake in the dawn's early light. But much to my surprise, when I opened, I was a victim of the great compromise.
That somehow seemed more than a little bit appropriate. John Prine, his classic, The Great Compromise. This is The Horn. I'm Bob. And just to follow up a little bit, you heard in that clip of Willard Romney the reference to Herman Cain. Now, you know, Hermie is now the Repig-Lickin' front runner. They've thumbed through Sarah Palin and Donald Trump and Romney and Perry and Bachman. Now they're down to Cain. And I guess to celebrate it, and having said that he should have repudiated the booers in the audience over that gay soldier, well, I guess he just wasn't thinking real clear, because he went on The View. You couldn't get me on The View with a gun. Not because I hate the program, but because those ladies, those women, are sharp. Well, except for Elizabeth Hasselbeck. Did she move to Nashville with her husband? I don't know. She couldn't have. Well, maybe she did. Who cares? But he went on to tell them all about the gayness. What gets into people? does Herman Cain not have any kind of a campaign organization? Herm, stay off of there. Whoopi Goldberg will plum eat your lunch, Herm. That Joy Behar, she's no walk in the park either. Herm, stay away. Well, Herm couldn't. Like a moth to a flame, I reckon.
I want to ask you about your conservative position on gay marriage and civil unions.
Are we changing subjects?
Yeah, I'm changing the topic a little bit because you're a social conservative.
Yes.
Strictly, I think.
Yes.
You would like to roll back, bring back Don't Ask, Don't Tell. I think that you believe that being gay is a choice.
Yes.
And he also believes that no abortions, even if the woman is raped or
that's my
or incest.
That's just my position.
You are a very conservative candidate.
Yes.
But it has been basically, I think that to think that gay is a choice, I don't know how to respond to that. I mean, I don't think that anybody in this world wants to be gay considering all of the vilification that is brought upon someone who is gay. Why would you choose that?
Well, you show me the science that says that it's not, but be persuaded. Right now, it's my opinion against the opinion of others who feel differently.
Oh, Herman.
That's just a difference of opinion.
Are you would you govern based on that? Because
there are politicians now that do separate, actually, their personal... Mitt Romney is a great example. He separated his personal beliefs from how he governed. Would you separate your personal beliefs from how you would govern?
Okay, you want me to answer one question at a time or two questions at a time?
You're conservative. You're an associate minister. I know this.
Yes.
You're an associate pastor at
yes.
your church. Are you going to separate that from, you have to lead, you have to
yes.
you know, run a country with a lot of people with a lot
yes.
of different beliefs?
I am going to make my decisions based upon the Constitution of the United States of America. That's what the president has a responsibility to do. Some of my personal feelings are not going to influence decisions that I need to make on behalf of all the people. That's what a president is supposed to do.
Yeah, that's what Obama said, too.
Yeah.
I'm not Obama.
Yeah, sure you are, Herm. There's only one thing. There's tons of science to show that sexuality is not chosen. That specifically being gay is not chosen. But all of this can be dealt with in one simple question. Herm, you believe, or as Michelle or Godzilla from Wasilla or whichever idiot it is refers to him, Herb! Can't say Herb without thinking of Herb Tarlick. Herb, you think that being the gay is a choice, right?
Mm-hmm.
Herb, when did you choose to be straight? What morning did you wake up and say, I'm going to chase women's instead of men's? When'd you do it, Herb? Because then he has to shut up. But now Herm has a log cabin Republican problem. You know, the gay Republicans. If Herman Cain truly wants to see the science proving that sexual orientation is not a choice, log cabin Republicans would be happy to show it to him. The claim that a person chooses to be gay or lesbian has been discredited by every major professional medical organization, starting with the American Psychological Association and the American Medical Association. An individual's orientation is no more a choice than the color of his skin or whether he is left-handed, and too many people have been hurt because of failed attempts to change the way they were born. Because, see, Herm, if it's a choice, then all of a sudden you're over in Michelle and Marcus Bachman's camp. You know, Marcus Bachman, who, if he was any further in the closet, would be riding a lion through Narnia. Sorry, I'm going to use that every time. I just love that line. That's beautiful. And thanks to Jack and Brian, who have now taken us... almost all the way. We're only $10 short of meeting Susan's challenge. Thank you very much. Marcus Bachman, Lion Through Narnia. Yeah. To the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
Bob.
Sandra.
Hey, so, maybe you can just sort of, I've been sort of deep in, like, whatever, this paper that I'm working on, but at any rate, can you please explain to me, I'm just sort of stunned. So now we just resign? We can just kill American citizens like that?
Yeah, see, that happened while I was sick, Sandra, and it didn't make me feel any better.
Well, no. I don't mean for you. I'm just thinking in general. I mean, it's sort of we seem to have crossed the Rubicon. I mean,
yeah, you declare enemy of the state and goodbye.
Yeah, you just get the other one on the side. So he killed two Americans, and you know I'm not a big Ron Paul fan, but shit, I give him credit. He said maybe he should bring up some impeachment, and I'm sorry. I kind of have to side with him on that. And the fact that it's just sort of laughed out and just ignored, and in the meanwhile, the executive branch is now able to, what are they going to send the drone to occupy Wall Street and bloating people up? I mean, you know what? I understand that's not going to happen, but you know what I'm saying? It's like...
Well, the door's certainly open to it now.
Well, it's just wide open, and it's scary because it's not like we're on an uptick. You know, things can and probably will get worse, and, you know, we've had this conversation before. I'm just scared of the security apparatus in place because... the whole world is a battlefield, and we're at war forever. So the president can take out people under some authorization from 2002. Do I got that right?
Yeah, that was the thing that blew my mind, that the argument was that the Iraq War resolution made this okay?
Yeah, well, no. But this what? It doesn't make anything okay, because as far as I can tell, what about that? What was that case in Ohio versus the KKK guy? And the Supreme Court said, well, yeah, he can advocate for violence. I can't remember. What was the name of that case?
Oh, I can't remember it. I know the one you're talking about. But
something Berg versus Ohio. And the Supreme Court said that, you know, you are protected by free speech even if you advocate violence. Because the last time I heard, the KKK was a terrorist group.
Right.
And that's protected. And I also tweeted, can Norway send a drone and take out Pam Geller? Okay?
Yeah, for inciting the Breivik?
Yeah, I mean, tell me what the difference is.
Well, I don't see much of one. The thing that got me, because, you know, the deafening silence in all this, Sandra, was disturbing primarily, you know, it was just, you get silence from the right wing except the Paulites, and because, you know, they kind of believe in that stuff anyway, and you get silence from the people who, for whom, you know, there's always an excuse for whatever Barack Obama does. And that leaves this little niche of us going, but wait a minute, and scratching our heads and stuff. But I asked the same question regarding this that I used to ask of Republicans back when Bush was president and was all, you know, all up in the Patriot Act. And they, well, you know, we need it to protect America. I said, well, yeah, okay, that's great. What are you going to do when the Patriot Act is in the hands of Hillary Clinton?
Well, we see what they're doing, though.
Right. And so the same question obtains. You know, Barack Obama took out, you know, he got a 2-for-1. It was 2-for-Tuesday or whatever. But what happens when you get, oh, I don't know, a Herman Cain, a Romney, a Perry? Jesus,
well,
this guy likes to watch people die.
Well, no, that just, it just means that we're living in a country under men, not laws. I mean, that's basically what.
Well, yeah, and whatever this process is by which one is rendered up onto the no live list, what is that, Sandra? With an appreciation of history, what is that but a court of star chamber?
Well, yeah, it covers all the sort of stuff that was going on in the world before, you know, the Magna Carta and you know, different sort of human rights types of changes that happened a millennia ago. So, you know, we're regressing a millennia. You know what I'm saying? I'm
in a flash.
Like, it's just like, wow. I guess I'm a bit gobsmacked by it, and I'm kind of thinking, good Jesus, because, you know, I don't care who the hell is in the office.
Right, and that's why I say to the people for whom Obama can do no wrong, how will you be with this when it is somebody in the White House who hates your damn guts?
Well, no, but it's, and also, you know, the spooky, secret, shadowy government that we seem to have with the financial spooky people and the
well. Did you see this? Did you see this money? This story about all the money that J.P. Morgan Chase pumped into the NYPD recently?
Yeah, that was another thing I was sort of gobsmacked by. I'm like, okay, wow. We have these corporations directly funding the people who protect them. Okay.
$4.6 million given by J.P. Morgan Chase at the direction of Jamie Dimon to the NYPD Foundation.
No, I don't care. I heard that story, and I'm like, oh, you know, wait one damn minute. And once again, it's like people like you and me are just sort of scratching our heads because I mentioned that to an acquaintance. They just sort of looked at me blankly, you know, and not to be, I know this is really incorrect, but I did some sign language, you know. You understand what the fuck I'm saying? And I know that.
Yeah, I know. No, I know. Yeah.
But I figure you have to talk about pussy 25 times a call. I can do that.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, you can. Yeah. I you got one.
Anyway, yeah, so that story there, you know, that's one that we really have to, you know, sort of step back and say, wow, this shit is hella deep now.
And you can't pretend that you can't pretend that that kind of cash doesn't have an impact. I mean, it's just like an oil company giving a couple of million dollars to some politician.
Well, no, but it's worse because this is like turning the public sector, I put that in quotes, into your own personal Praetorian Guard, you know, because these people are using the police to protect the 1% against us, and this is what's coming. It's like if the rich are seeing that the people are getting upset and getting into the streets or whatever, they're more than happy to dump all their money onto whatever stooge, sort of like the Irish cops back in the day, you know, before progressivism.
Yeah.
They were for hire. Remember that?
Sure.
Let's go back history again. I mean, history is a wonderful thing. It's a pity that it's in short supply.
Well, that reminds me of something that Dr. Bill and Keith Lilly emphasized last night during the chat. And I think it was Keith said it. He said, you do not learn history, you do history. And it's in the doing of history that you have these reference points that give you a logical and verifiable and concrete reason to question the active present.
Well, exactly. And, you know, I question anything when I can read something or remember that I know that the problem with the cop system back east before the progressive movement was that anybody who had the dollars could get them to enforce. And it wasn't until the progressive movement, which started with city government first to try to tame that corruption, you know, created a police force for the people as opposed to Pinkertons. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Well, look at how the arrests on the Brooklyn Bridge went down, Sandra. I mean, have you followed the actual kind of blow by blow, but you know what I mean, of that whole thing? They started marching for the Brooklyn Bridge, and the cops were walking along with them.
Right, yeah. And
escorting them, it seemed.
Right, so they went into, and then all of a sudden the cops cut off the vast majority of people and sort of brought out these orange nets for, what, 700 of them?
Yeah.
And they probably took, you know, had them people on high as candy camera, too, so they can see who the fuck is involved. I don't trust none of these people. I don't trust. They got facial recognition. They got all kinds of stuff, and I don't trust none of them, especially when I know that the banks are directly paying for their shit now. I mean, that should be on the front page. That's an outrage. I don't really even know where that story is. Have you seen it?
No, I only saw it over at Crooks and Liars. And
well,
I guess the blog post came from Naked Capitalism. It damn sure didn't come from the New York Times. They might have it a week and a half from now.
Oh, did it start at Naked Capitalism?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's my girl. I love that website. Oh, my God. But anyway, so that story is so disturbing. you know, and I don't understand why, you know, people shouldn't be too upset about, you know, how the corporate media is portraying these marches. I mean, are you surprised? Why are you surprised, you know?
Yeah, there's not there a lot there to be surprised about. First they ignore them. And then they, you know, this is a sort of modification of the old Gandhi line. He said, first they ignore you, then they laugh at you, then they fight you, then you win.
Mm.
Well, now it's first they ignore you, then they mischaracterize you, then they fight you. And I don't know that the then you win part is in play.
Well, I think that the power structure.
Well, I mean, you've got Willard Romney out there saying that that Occupy Wall Street is dangerous. Now, these people are about as far from dangerous as you can get, and still have the word in the lexicon.
It's
all nonviolent. It's all pro peace.
No, but they never say that the Tea Party is dangerous. So I mean,
oh hell no! And if a Democrat says that the teabaggers are dangerous, you know, bringing guns to rallies and stuff like that, well, you hate the First Amendment and Jesus too.
Right? No, I mean, you know, it's absurd. Romney actually said that.
Yeah.
Oh my God! Well, if he's saying stuff like that, I think that they must be causing people to be a little bit concerned. If he's coming out with stuff like that, really, that's outrageous. I mean,
well, and Bill O'Reilly's lost his mind over it.
Yeah,
but all these, that's his job.
No, but they're all just status quo. You know, that's the 1%. You see, people don't make the connection right away that those talking heads and people talking at us, they're all part of the 1%, or at least the 5%, you know?
Yeah, and the best that the White House could muster when asked about the Occupy Wall Street was for Jay Carney to say,
to the extent that people are frustrated with the economic situation, we understand.
Bullshit, you understand.
Are you going to be understanding when you're not in power anymore? Maybe that understanding will be a little bit more graphic. I mean, I don't know what the Obama administration is doing. And I don't know. I'm starting to worry. I'm starting to think that somebody else is going to be president. I don't know who.
Well, look, I'm going to say this, and maybe it'll ring wrong, or maybe it'll put somebody off. But we know that the White House would like to run against Romney because they've already said he's weird. You know, mainly because he is. Rick Perry would stupid himself right out of the race.
Well, no, but I don't know if.
But you know what? I got a feeling the last thing they want to run against is another black man.
Well, yeah, oh no, they don't want none of that to happen. That's too much of a, and that's almost too much of a horror show for me. I don't even know if I can handle that day in and day out. It's too much. And I'm still, you know, I think I might have to go visit, what is it called? Nigger Hill? Nigger Rock?
Niggerhead. Niggerhead Ranch.
That's
and lo and behold, what do I see on Twitter the other day but this guy who purports to be a progressive, and he's defending the use of that word.
Well,
it's a perfectly good British English idiom, meaning a large iron post with a big knob at the top. It's a nautical term. Yeah, because Rick Perry in the middle of West freaking Texas is going to be and his granddaddy's going to be using a nautical term. You know, save it.
Yeah, no, that's, you know, so they really need to step back, people who trying to defend that, because that's a mess. Anyway, I think he seemed to be sinking in the polls big time, that guy.
Oh, as well he should. When you get a chance to look at, to go and have a look at bad lip reading and you see the Rick Perry soundbite, you're not going to be well. You're going to be laughing so bad your belly hurts, Sandra, I promise. You got to see it.
Oh, my God. Well, listen, I guess your show's about
up. I'm out of here.
Okay, well, take care.
Take care. Bye now. Bye. And it's unfortunate the way these things work out. But you gotta wait. You gotta not wait till the last half hour of the program to call in. That's all I can say to the other three blinking lights. I apologize. We'll get at it tomorrow night, though. I promise. That'll be Wednesday, of course. Thanks to everybody who makes all this happen, and thanks for your patience in my absence. I really appreciate it. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. Go there, become a member. Learn about the Coal River Wind Project and become a part of the solution for ending the nightmare horror that is taking place, the human rights crisis that is taking place daily in Appalachia. Rick Smith is next. And always, 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 Sheena, Judy, it's all for you.